I would just like to take a few moments today and focus our attention on the gospel. Oh, I have to get rid of my reading glasses or I'll never see anybody. So today's gospel, to understand today's gospel, you sort of have to back up a couple of weeks. So 2 weeks ago, we had Jesus walking along the beautiful sandy beaches of the Sea of Galilee, probably getting sand in his sandals, you know, that annoying sand that gets between your toes. And he's walking along, well, I really can't say that because I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, so that's another story altogether. But anyway, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees the fishermen, and he calls out to Andrew and to Peter. And he says, come on, follow me. Now, none of his friends, none of their friends, none of their family, none of their relatives, nobody says anything when Peter and Andrew get out of the boat and start walking after Jesus. Nobody. They just sort of say, well, have a nice day. And then they go a little further and they find out they get James and John, don't they? The sons of Zebedee. Same thing happens. Jesus says, come and follow. Come with me. I'll show you great things. I'll show you a new kingdom, a new world. And they get out of the boat and they go, leaving Zebedee in the boat with all the nets, wondering where his kids are going. So that was 2 weeks ago. And then they have this long, long travel. They're walking all around the area. In Australia, you know, it's called a going out, you know, an outback kind of thing. Well, they're walking around and wherever they go, Jesus teaches in the synagogues and he teaches in the markets. And his name gets more and more known. And as it gets more and more known, people start seeing things. They start seeing Jesus heal the sick, feed people, talk to people, and embrace them. And so more and more people start to come to Jesus. And they're quite fascinated. People are saying, you know, if your relative is sick or if your family member is sick, come and visit this guy Jesus. He's doing amazing things. And the crowd grows, and it grows, and it grows, till the point where Jesus decides to take this massive crowd to the mountain. We heard that last week. And the interesting thing about that is the disciples must have stopped for lunch because they're not with Jesus. When Jesus gets to the top of the mountain, the disciples are nowhere to be found. They're not there. So he waits for them. Imagine that, waiting with Jesus and all this crowd and the people wondering, what's going to happen next? Jesus waits till his disciples gather. Then he tells them, sit down, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you the Beatitudes, how the kingdom will be alive in this world. And I think what happened was by the end of the Beatitudes, there was an expression on those four disciples that must have been something like, I don't understand. I have not a clue what you're talking about. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. I don't get it. Can you run by it again? I think Jesus saw that on the disciples' faces. Because what does he do in today's gospel? He gets right to the chase. He says, you're the salt of the earth. Now that's something they could understand. As fishermen, they used salt all the time. They used it to preserve their fish. They used it to barter with. They often had it all around them so that they could trade. They knew about salt. Now, they weren't all that sure about salt getting, losing its saltiness, but they must have said, well, listen, we've seen Jesus heal the sick. Certainly, he can do something with salt. If he can heal the sick, so maybe there is something to this saltiness, losing its saltiness. And then Jesus says, you know, being the salt of the earth is quite the responsibility. It's quite the responsibility. It means that, you know, just a little of that salt can change everything. Meaning that just by preaching a little, the disciples preaching out just a little, great things can happen. Just a small taste can change everything. So Jesus is trying to excite them into their ministry, saying, listen, don't be worried about the large crowds. Don't be worried about what you're saying. Just give a little bit. Give a little bit of the kingdom to the people. But he doesn't end there. He goes on and he says, listen, you're also lights in the world. Again, something the disciples could really understand. I mean, they often fished at night, so there was a lamp at the end of their boat. There was always that joyous moment when they got back into their homes and they lit their lamp and could see within their homes the calmness that comes from being there. And I'm sure that if I asked you to raise your hands, and for the people at home, raise your hands, how many people have night lights? Have night lights? Well, yeah, we all do. It's kind of nice when you get up in the middle of the night and don't hit your shins on your bed. You know, it's kind of nice. We have night lights. And so they had that it's a calming light that Jesus is speaking about. And then, you know, at most, if not all, of the ports that they were at, there would be lights at the end of the port so that they could safely get their boats in and out of the port. So there was the calmness that comes from the light, there was the seeing, the guiding that comes from the light, and there's the protection that comes from the light. And Jesus is explaining all of that to these disciples. Now, you may be saying, okay, John, that's a nice little history of that gospel, but what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me today? Well, I think what it's saying is that all those many years ago, being the salt of the earth and being the light in the world, transposes to you and I to this very day. You know, when we get up in the morning, we have that opportunity to be the salt of the earth, just to share who we are, share our story with others in that small little voice that we have. And if that's not enough, we are also expected to be the light in the world, to guide others to the kingdom. That is the same today as it was back when Jesus spoke it to the disciples. Now you may be saying, well, I don't mind being involved in these kind of things, like speaking about injustice, speaking about poverty and housing and all those kind of things. But, you know, I'm more the pepper kind of person. You know, the salt's good. Let that voice be heard. I like to be the pepper. I like to be in the background. Now, it's another story altogether why salt comes before pepper, but I don't know. But anyway, think about that. But God says, no, no, I will give you the power to be the salt. I will give you the power of the Spirit working in you to be the salt and to be the light. You know, it's not a fluke that at the end of each of our communion services, every Sunday, we always say, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. The power working in us, that's not a fluke. That wasn't just written so that we could leave. Okay, it's over. No, it was to excite us into the week ahead, to get us ready to go out into the world. So I'd ask you to think about that this coming week. Think about your voice, that voice that is powered by the Spirit, that's the salt of the earth, and the fact that you have the opportunity to be the light, to guide, to calm, to be the protection in the world. So I'd ask you to think about that this week. Amen.